know we like to talk about school on this show, and report cards are out. Player report cards, they report on everything as far as the I guess the food, the strength and conditioning, all of those things. So we will get to that. But first, let's get to this giveaway, the Jacksons and Sister Sledge. Music royalty and soul's pop icons, the Jacksons and Philly's favorite sisters and ultimate disco divas, Sister Sledge, are hitting the stage and joining forces for an amazing show, and Sactown Sports can get you in the building, courtesy of Thunder Valley Casino Resort. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now, looking for caller number 3. To score that pair of tickets, check out the Jacksons and Sister Sledge at the venue at Thunder Valley Casino Resort, March 30th. Caller number 3, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Your chance to see the Jacksons and Sister Sledge, looking for caller number 3, 916-339-1140. Simone will take care of you as we continue to discuss the Niners. But real quick, Chris, I will throw it to you for the Vikings shutting down the GM, shutting down the Justin Jefferson rumors.
Yes, it's been flooding my socials for really the past week. I think you had it in the rundown like a week ago, and I told you we're not talking about it because it's not a story and it's not happening. But people are insisting that Justin Jefferson is available for trade because the Vikings have not yet reached a contract extension with him. He still is, much like Brandon Ayuk, still has one more year left on his contract before he is a free agent. The Vikings obviously want to get all of that done. But their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, had this to say yesterday, pretty much shutting down all rumors about Justin Jefferson leaving.
Said it, and we'll continue to say it. We think he's the best wide receiver in the league and should be compensated as such. We think he's one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league. I think he should be compensated as such. And so we'll continue to have those dialogues and those conversations. I promise them, and I will continue to promise them, that I will not talk about our negotiations. I think this job should be done with integrity. So a lot of the stuff that I hear is completely false, but I can't get up here and tell you what's not true or not false, because that's not how I promised to do this job. But I will tell you that we're excited to have him and continue those conversations, because he's somebody we want around for a long time.
I love that, man. I just want to say,
how does that make you feel?
Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is one of my favorite GMs that I've had in any of my sporting franchises ever. The man is about his business. Funny enough, he used to work for the Niners. He was found from the Niners, so there is a little bit of a tie there. But that makes me feel great. And I've never really thought there was any question. JJ has talked openly about how he's not trying to leave Minnesota either. It's just really a financial thing, and I definitely love to hear Kwesi just flat out say it. Like, he is the best receiver in the NFL. We're going to pay him as such. We believe he is the best non-quarterback in the NFL. We're going to pay him as such. That tells you that they're not far off, and it's going to be a ridiculous number. It's just coming down to how ridiculous of a number it's going to be.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Get away, Patriots fans.
You still need someone to throw on the ball, though.
Well, you know, there's a lot of whispers that Kirk is also going to be on his way back as well. Also, a lot of Vikings moving up in the draft rumors as well.
You remember back in the day, due to, I guess, the area and the connection, there was some murmurs of Trey Lance.
Oh, big time. Big time. Yeah, Vikings fans were like, they were chomping at the bit for them to make a move for Trey Lance. Of course, they eventually didn't, but there was a lot of people, because he is from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I guess he went to high school in Minnesota and is one of the best quarterbacks they've had there. There was a lot of hunger for Trey Lance, but I think it was more of just a flyer. I don't think they actually have real interest.
Well, Minnesota didn't want him. University of Minnesota didn't want him as a quarterback.
They did not, no.
I think they wanted him to do some other stuff instead of be the QB. Yeah, I mean, Kurt's 35. Did you see the video of him spinning that thing? He was throwing it. Yes, he was throwing it a couple days ago.
It's a big scar he has on his Achilles. It makes me nervous.
I don't know if it depends on how bad it is. I have to look at Kirk's, and you can all do it differently, but my scar really is not that big. My pops
his
did it,
huge.
But he did it back. He did it in, I don't know, 03 or something like that. So it was a little bit different. So yeah, hopefully Kirk Cousins can stay healthy this season. A lot of Achilles coming back. You got Kirk. You got Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron's already back. He's been back.
He
could have
played
if they were
in the playoffs. That's right. Getting back to the Niners. This is from Matt Barrows of The Athletic. On the Tim Kawakami TK show, scouting combine buzz is that people have a hard time seeing it being Brandon Staley. As based on the calls and texts yesterday, a lot of Niner fans will be happy to hear this.
Thrilled.
He continues, but they interviewed him, so they went at least that far. But I would say that the smart money right now is on Nick Sorensen, who is a coach right now. An assistant coach right now for the Niners. So keeping it in house.
It makes the most sense, right?
Yeah.
If you were concerned about a culture fit, well, then how about a guy who's from your culture? It makes a lot of sense.
Scheme as well.
Also, probably, I mean, it would take the Niners being a pretty incredible defense, I would imagine, for him to then be leapfrogged into like other coaching conversations as well. So maybe that's solving the whole question that we had with Vrabel and Brandon Staley and Belichick of, okay, if those guys are the hire, will they be there longer than a year before they just kind of use it as a launch pad? No, I can't say with certainty, but I would just assume that Sorensen probably won't rise the ranks that quickly, go from, you said he's a specialist to then a D coordinator to then a head coach in 3 or 2 years.
Nick Sorensen,
that feels a little aggressive,
is the defensive passing game and Nichols coach.
Yeah.
And based on what I'm reading here, that this was his first season as that.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it would you know, maybe a little bit of job security there as well for Kyle.
I mean, you talk about the come up. He spent his first season, I'm on Niners.com here, spent his first season with San Francisco as a defensive assistant in 2022.
Wow.
So he's because Steve Wilks didn't want to come out that booth and wanted to run zero blitzes.
Interesting.
Sorensen says Sorensen joined the Niners after spending the 2021 season as the special teams coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you know, that's maybe the Niners have already gotten to the point where, you know, I've talked about it with Bill Belichick, where he had to start hiring his son and stuff just to ensure that, hey, this guy's not going to get poached. And I wonder
it's a great call by
a
you,
bit
though.
Of it is a bit of it is that Kyle's just like, look, I need somebody who A is going to listen to my input, but B is also not going to leave for another opportunity. It makes a lot of sense if it works out. The of course the fear is, you know, is this guy qualified, or not only is this guy qualified, could you have gotten a more qualified guy for that spot? Where, you know, the Niners window is closing here. Trent Williams said this is probably going to be his last year. You know, that's a lot of pressure to kind of make it work overnight.
Yeah. I believe that this scheme thing goes a long way.
Yeah, of course.
And it feels like the Niners would rather go less experienced but fit scheme versus more experienced but doesn't fit scheme, because they just did that.
Yep.
They just did that. So we'll see what happens there. I still think we're going to get an answer on this defensive coordinator thing pretty soon here. I think before we hop on the mics on Monday. Getting to the team report cards, okay, and they have multiple areas, the categories. Treatment of facilities, food and cafeteria.
Treatment of families.
Treatment of families, nutritionist and dietitian, locker room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership. Here you go. The Niners gave the treatment of families an A-. They ranked second out of 32 there. Food cafeteria, they ranked third. They got an A- as well. Nutritionist, dietitian, they ranked eighth. They got a B+. Locker room, got a B+. They were seventh. Training room, they got a C. They were 24th. Training staff, they got a B-. They were 21st. Weight room, they got a B+. They were number 11. They were 11th. Strength coaches, a B+. They were 16th. Team travel, C+, 13th. Head coach, they got an A, 7th. Ownership, they got an A-. They were 10th. Anything stick out to you there, Chris?
Yeah, they have like an overview breakdown of why they got those grades. Interesting here. I mean, they say obviously Jed York and Kyle Shanahan got great responses, as well as treatment of family in the food program. They say apparently the reason why the training facilities got 24th out of 32, they gave it a C, is, I'll just read it verbatim what it says here. The one area that survey responders believe needs to be prioritized going forward is the training room. The room itself is small with a limited number of treatment tables. Also, the hot cold tubs are very small, which limits the player's ability to comfortably use them either to warm up or recover, which sounds like it would be from linemen. I would assume that Trent Williams is probably larger than what your test sample human would be for a hot tub. And, I'd assume that they probably need more of a pool than a jacuzzi.
Well, the tubs are one thing, yeah, right? I would imagine you'd get bigger tubs. But the room itself,
it's interesting.
Would they just try to repurpose a different room?
Possibly, I guess, yeah. I would think so. Or maybe, yeah, just try and figure out how you can fit more tables. Maybe you can get a couple tables in the locker room, like in the immediate locker room. So, you know, maybe you can get treatment while you're near your stuff. And I'm sure you could figure out ways around it, because I could imagine how that would be one of the more annoying things that you need for game day is I'm trying to get taped up. And if they're saying there's a limited amount of tables. If there's only five tables, but there's whatever, how many guys dress on game days? Like, yeah, a lot. So, it just takes up time. So it's a pretty small thing relatively. I mean, we can get to the F-minuses that are out there report cards, but, it's a pretty small thing, but nonetheless, like, you know, for a team that has a relatively new stadium, it's not Lambeau or Soldier Field or anything like that. You would think that probably would have been something that they should have addressed when building the stadium. And to your point, I don't really think that's something you could fix now.
We got to work it out, though. As the resident Niners fan here, I am very familiar with their injuries. And, I just don't like to hear this.
That's right.
All.
That's a good point.
That's right.
Very afflicted.
But when it comes to everything in Santa Clara and that stadium, it feels like this could have been better. From the sunlight and everything could have been better, but you got what you got.
How about just the noise?
Yeah, and can you find a way to make it better? But there's some teams that are in much worse situations,
yes,
including a team I guarantee you would not expect to get an F- based on the success that they've had. We have those teams. We also have somebody from national media actually caping up not only just the Kings – but for Sabonis?
No way.
You got to hear this. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Has anyone ever gotten an F-? Is that a thing?
No, that's personal. If your teacher gives you an F-, they hate you.
I haven't even heard of an F- on a test or a quiz.
An F is an F. Like, there's no F+. There is no F-. An F+ might be even worse, but F- is that's reserved for special occasions.
You failed.
You failed miserably.
I mean, you failed, but you failed.
Yeah.
You failed. Here are the F- that were given out for the player report cards in the NFL. For treatment of families, the Bengals got an F-. The Patriots got an F-. The Steelers got an F-. And the Commanders got an F-.
Oof.
It's not good.
Interesting. And I'm looking at the Bengals grade here. They got 32nd out of 32nd for treatment of families, food and cafeteria, and nutrition dietitian. Let me see if there's anything on there. It says they were one of four teams that neither offer a family room or a daycare for players' families on game days. They're the only team that closes their cafeteria on the players' off days, even though many of the players come to the facility on off days for extra preparation and recovery. The club did not begin to provide three meals a day on Wednesdays. The club did begin to provide 3 days a meal on Wednesdays only this year, but they are one of two teams in the league that don't provide three meals each day for their players. So it's really just and then approximately 50% of the showers don't work. They either don't provide warm water or there isn't enough water pressure. They face consistent plumbing issues that limit the amount of functioning toilets that the players can use. I love this survey.
This is the best thing
the NFL has ever done. Yes, insane.
That's crazy.
It's insane. It is crazy that Joe Burrow is possibly having a worse experience than some Texas high schools out there.
That's actually insane.
Like, how is that possible? The NFL, a billion-dollar organization. Don't even get me started on the Commanders, because the Commanders' overview is insane. I mean, when asked the number one issue responders want to prioritize for fixing, most players couldn't come up with just one. Instead, the common answer was the entire facility. The players understand that the new club ownership didn't create these current problems and are hopeful that new team ownership is willing to do what it takes to fix them. It's incredible that these – and of course, somebody has to be last – but it's insane that in the NFL,
an F minus
is crazy.
Commanders
should not exist.
F minus in treatment of families, locker room, and training room. The Falcons, they got an F minus in strength coaches. I guess not enough muscle milk is being handed out in Atlanta. And the surprising one that we alluded to before the break, the Kansas City Chiefs giving their owner an F minus.
That is so strange. I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know about you, but I've not heard anything about him being an issue or anything like that. I'm curious. I'm going to read the description here, but I think it's interesting too that Andy Reid got voted number one for head coach. So to have the best coach in the NFL but the best owner is just a really weird pairing.
They were 31st of 32 teams.
They are. Wow. Yeah, they have an F in nutrition, F in locker room, a D in training room, an F in training staff. Wow. So actually,
a D
is it
in
how
team travel?
How impressive? More impressive is it that Patrick Mahomes has been able to thrive with this terrible organization? Apparently, that he's working for. Let's see here. It is clear that it is not significant reinvestment. So the issue is that they're saying from the results, it's clear that there has not been a significant reinvestment back into the facilities, even after consistent success. This has led to a high level of frustration amongst players, respondents, and reflects in the club owner rankings as the least willing to invest in team facilities amongst all NFL ownerships. Which is interesting. I mean, for sure. That's almost like with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, it's awesome that you get all of this success and with that comes all of this revenue. But if players see that, our owner just bought a new plane and our owner seems to be living nice, but we're still pulling the same dumbbells that we've been pushing since Travis Kelce got here. So yeah, I mean that's terrible.
Well,
you can't keep getting away with it.
Well, he can.
The entire locker room.
He can, unless, I don't know, the NFL says, hey, man, you gotta do something here.
Pat needs to start throwing his weight around.
Pat
sounds like.
Yeah, he's going to have to say something. Because if I'm not mistaken, and I didn't watch that specific part of the end of the Super Bowl, because he's up there with them, and doesn't
yeah.
he get
oh,
handed
definitely.
The
he's
trophy?
He's the first one to get the trophy.
He's the first one to get it, so everybody's just saying,
just
man.
Like, man, this dude.
Right, man. I
don't even
want to
win.
Dude. Right, but you have no choice. I mean, if you're just not a good person, it's kind of a great business model because they have no choice but to perform, and you don't have to fix anything apparently. So that's terrible.
That's horrible. I mean,
you're not gonna leave. I mean, it's kind of just using your situation in not a great way, and that's unfortunate because they didn't pop up because we talked about F minuses.
Yeah.
But if you talk about just Fs, the Cardinals got an F for owner. The Falcons got an F for weight room. Where else are all the other Fs? There's a lot of
Fs on here. Yeah.
So not just the F minuses, there's also the Fs. Yeah, we talked about the Chiefs. The
Falcons have a couple.
Patriots got an F in weight room. A lot of these weight rooms are just janky.
Which is ridiculous because, like, these guys are massive humans. Like, that's the first thing you should probably invest in.
Right.
As is locker room and then the weight room.
It seems like some of these I am interested in because the Commanders, as we mentioned, the Titans and the Bucks all gave Fs in team travel. And I want to know what that means. Are the planes too small? These guys don't have leg room.
It definitely could be, right?
What is it? The hotels? What is it about the team travel that a lot of these teams have? Because even I think the Niners gave team travel a C+.
They did. And that was interesting to me. I'd never heard of this or thought of this before. But with the Niners team travel, they said they are one of seven teams in the NFL that require their players to have roommates the night before the game. So that's one of the knocks for the Niners.
You end up in Miami, L.A. You gotta make sure you stay on the beaten path. When we get back, we will hear from that national media member and what they had to say about Sabonis for MVP.
What?
Sal's and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We got prop talk and dog segment, but first we're gonna hear from Kendrick Perkins. Is the guy? No, it's not. Oh no, this
I'm scared.
Time. It's not. Oh no, this time. Kendrick Perkins had some things to say as they were discussing on ESPN the MVP race. This is what Kendrick Perkins had to say.
Look, we can make a compelling argument for all of these guys when it comes down to Jokic. When it comes down to SGA, it could come down to Donovan Mitchell, Luka. Like, all these guys are going to put up historical numbers in today's game.
Yeah.
Hell, if we want to make a case, why are we not saying anything about Sabonis? Sabonis right now, hold on. If we're going based on numbers, Sabonis is leading the NBA in triple-doubles. He's also leading the league in double-doubles. The man is averaging 13 and 8.
Briefly, better case for Luka Doncic than for Sabonis. I mean, leading the league without Embiid in scoring, and then also giving you almost 9 and 10. That's a triple double, and that's the reason why Jokic is the favorite.
I thought the triple doubles meant something.
I'm telling you,
that's a mess of an argument.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I'm telling you, I think that it's the same thing that happens with Drew Brees and the NFL. These numbers are just so ballooned right now. By the way,
right.
I believe I saw that the NBA is going to start to the process of looking at how they approach defense and offense.
Mm.
I don't know when anything could
start
or would get changed, but as of right now, you can look at this. I mean, it's not that these guys are on steroids, or at least we don't think they are, but you can look at this like this. If they do reel back the offense and how it's so much easier offensively and it's hard to play defense for in the NBA right now, you can look at this era.
Yeah.
I don't know when you want to start
balls,
it.
Right?
It's basically juiced baseballs.
Right.
It's the steroid
juiced
era.
Players, yeah.
Juiced
it's
players.
Juiced, yeah.
Yes, it's the juiced era. And then you could look back and say, oh, wow, I like that or I didn't. And maybe that's why when it comes to these triple doubles, everybody is a bit more numb to it than they normally were. And part of that is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
and part of that is Sacramento.
Yeah,
I think it's all three.
Yeah, it's I don't even really know where to go from that sound because I champion Kendrick Perkins for bringing it up, but I don't know if I don't know if I can agree with what he's saying there. Like I think if the argument is just going to be off of numbers, then yes, absolutely, Sabonis does have a case for MVP or at least being in the conversation. But, I mean, realistically, they're a 7 seed, and I guess you can push back. And I think Kendrick should have pushed back and said, well, how can you say Luka's an MVP when they're the 8 seed. I mean, how is that crazy? But Sabonis in the 7 seed, why is Sabonis in the 7 seed so much crazier than Luka in the 8 seed? Like I said, I don't really know where to go with it. I love the fact that Kendrick's bringing it up, though. I do think that it's important. I mean, we can't complain here about how nobody ever brings up the Kings or Sabonis specifically is disrespected and then be upset at Kendrick for bringing it up. It's just also very telling there. I'm curious what your thoughts are on I think it was Malika. It might have been Shanae.
I think it was Shanae, yeah.
Laughing at Kendrick, literally laughing at the thought of Sabonis.
It just ticks me off. Yeah. And then laughing and then countering with someone under Sabonis in terms of the seating.
Yes.
That's just what happens.
Yeah.
That's just what happens.
Yeah, you're ridiculous, Kendrick. But here's my 8 seed.
MVP. Exactly. Here's my 8 seed. Davis Pham on the Sack Chat says, waiting for prop talk. You guys have been getting me right. We're going to try again, Davis. Now that
you're welcome.
Hey, you're welcome. Use it wisely. You know. And now that we know that, I hope we don't mess you up tonight. But let's get
into
it.
That's a lot of pressure.
Let's get some prop talk going and then our dog segment. Let's go.
Let's go, man. I mean, it's my first thought is going to be to look at Sabonis and Jokic, see if there's any combined rebounds. That was really one that I would always go for at the beginning of the year. I am seeing Jokic and Sabonis. This is a high number. 26 combined rebounds for Jokic and Sabonis.
13 and 13.
I think I want to take it, though. I mean, because we've seen Sabonis have some he hasn't had a 20-rebound game in a while, but those two are very capable of individually putting up, and there's probably going to be a lot of breaks. I mean, you know, there could be. I'm gonna look at that one. I'll probably pick that one. Sabonis and Jokic over 26 flat rebounds. So they got to get 27 in order to win.
I am going to go with, it just seems like Malik is always above this number. So for assists, it's always set at 4.5, and I feel like Malik always gets 5. And I think last game, or a couple games ago, he had 7. So I'm going to go with Malik.
He had
Malik.
8, I think.
He had 8. So I'm going to go with Malik over 4.5 assists.
Malik Monk, 4.
I really want to take Keegan at 12.5 because that feels too
points?
Low.
Points?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, that does sound low. That sounds really
Keegan,
low.
Keegan, 12.5 points.
Okay, so Malik.
Mr. Malik Monk, our NBA assist leader right now, right?
Off the bench, yeah.
Off the bench. That's right. That's right.
I'm looking at Mr. Harrison Barnes.
Oh, no, no.
Why?
And I'm just saying, you either, it's either outstanding or you think, why did I do that? What do you got?
I'm going to go with it's going to be an outstanding night.
Okay.
Real stand-up performance for Mr. Barnes, and he's going to hit that over for 10.5, please.
10.5 is low. It's low, so 10.5.
I like it.
10.5 over Simone for Harrison Barnes. I got over 4.5 assists for Mr. Monk. And you are doing this combo?
I'm doing this combo, yeah. Give me a two-piece combination.
I knew that was coming.
Come on.
And that is going to lead us right into our dog segment.
Yes, sir.
Let's get it going well. Dog segment, man. They all got to be dogs tonight. I'm going to keep it 1,000.
All right, Alan writing whole squad. Looking dog.
Whole squad. Okay. Or they're going to get dog walked by the defending champs. And
you're going all in then. It's either all in, like saying the whole team's got to be the dog is saying that essentially if they lose, like you can't win.
I cannot win. No, I'm going to stick with my guy, Malik. Malik has been a bit chilly from three-point range. I think he was 0 for 2 last game, and I might be stepping on my own foot with the assist, but I'm going to go with Malik Monk. I think he's just due for a big game. Jamal Murray, it's going to be a Kentucky party out there, and I'm going to go with Malik Monk getting his shot back on track, his three ball. His floater's been nasty. Just got to get that three ball right, and I think he does it.
Looking at Harrison Barnes here for my dog, I just think, in general, I feel like if Harrison Barnes is better than Aaron Gordon tonight, I feel like that's going to lead to a Kings victory. To help out Simone's prop, HB is averaging 13 points per game this season when playing against Denver, shooting 50% from three. So
didn't he kind of ball out before the All-Star break in Denver? I know they won, but I felt like he had a pretty decent
That's
game.
A round revenge tour time. So yeah. It definitely could have happened.
Yeah.
We were in Vegas probably at the time, which is why memory's a little hazy. But I'm gonna go with HB for my dog tonight.
Okay.
Arf, arf.
And since I'm just the substitute teacher today, I'm going to go with a soft pick, a soft adoption of De'Aaron Fox in case he plays.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, De'Aaron, these are the games. We know he's got the knee contusion. I feel like he's going to play. He was out during shoot-around, so you got De'Aaron for Simone. You have Malik Monk for myself, H. Bizzle for Chris. Real quick, because I promised this, if you've been listening since the crosstalk, the
maybe
crossover.
Maybe you can do it in crosstalk. You can probably tell it in the crosstalk.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think Whitey would enjoy that story.
All right. You never know what Whitey.
Yeah,
or he'll make fun of me and say, why would you bring this up on our airwaves?
That's
There's
happen.
Only two options.
It's going to happen.
There's only two options.
Find out what's going to happen next.
Yes, and you will find out how Whitey reacts to something that I am not thrilled about when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports. Joined by the one, the only, the legend in the game, Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys. All right, I was going to do this earlier, but Chris told me to wait.
You're going
to
apologize for all the mean things you said about Sasha today? Is that what you guys
I didn't say
do?
Anything mean about Sasha.
That was a swing and a miss.
Was it?
We don't know yet, do we? I mean.
This season.
He's been hurt. I know what you guys are saying. I'm teasing. He's been hurt a lot.
All right, well, why
ask Chris. I mean, during the summer, before he was even here, I was saying, trade him.
Yeah,
Whitey. Trade him.
Before he even got on the court. All right, Whitey, this is what I need to talk about. It has nothing to do with sports.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I know you had, I know you have kids. Were you ever a part of the Girl Scout cookie? Did you ever help sell?
Our daughters were never Girl Scouts.
Okay. All right, so here's the thing. So, I go. And I see the Girl Scouts, they're standing out front. I want to get some cookies. The three of us are walking. And I see the cookies, and you know the names that you recall, right?
Yeah.
Do-si-dos,
uh-huh.
Samoas, Tagalongs, Thin Mints, all those. I see the boxes outside of, and by the way, if your daughter sells these cookies, I'm no shade, it just surprised me. I did not know. So I see the boxes, and the boxes say peanut butter sandwich. Instead, it does not say Do-si-dos. I'm thinking, well, that's odd. Maybe for some odd reason, you know, something's off here. That I'm not sure, right? Mm-hmm. Long story short, I put this on social media because I bite into the cookie. When I get home, I bite into what I believe to be a Do-si-do, even though it doesn't say that. And in fact, it wasn't a Do-si-do. It was a Do-si-don't. It was a peanut butter sandwich cookie. So I posted on social media. Turns out there is a whole situation to where there are two bakeries. And depending on the bakery is the cookies that you will receive. So there's ABC Bakers and there's Little Brownie Bakers.
Mm. And, calling them out.
No, I'm just saying these are the two, right? These are the two. So in my area where I'm currently at are the ABC Bakers. And the ABC Bakers, they are Thin Mints, but the Thin Mints are different, okay? Instead of Samoas, they're Caramel Delights.
Mm.
And instead of
hard-hitting
Tagalongs,
investigative journalism.
Instead of Tagalongs, they're peanut butter patties, and instead of Do-si-dos, peanut butter sandwich.
Wow.
And I did not know that, and I was very confused, and somebody said, yeah, there's always been two, but I guess where I grew up, we had the other bakery.
So you're saying it's based on location, too.
It's based on location. I'm looking at, Chris Watkins, there is a map.
There's a full blown.
There's a map.
A distribution map.
And where were
there's so, green states and
so this
there's
is
what, green states
but this
and
is
like
what
a,
I'm confused
a,
about
a burnt orange.
So we're in Sacramento. We're in ABC Baker.
Yeah, but I don't know. You can see there. You can maybe zoom in. You're not too far from the other bakery
zone.
Yeah,
just go home. California, I gotta talk to my mom.
California, one of the few states, looks like we have both.
Yeah,
we do have both. But I'm gonna talk to my mom and say, hey. I need little brownie bakers.
Said, Mom, can you buy me some Girl Scout cookies,
Mom, I want
please?
The real do-si-dos. Stop playing with me. I just had to tell you that because you ever take a you take a drink of something you think it's water but it's Sprite.
That's not that's where sure. I thought you were going, but yeah,
well,
yeah,
gonna,
yeah,
that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
On the air. That's what I thought, Whitey. I just I felt
so
like
it
you
was
have.
Different. Like
you're
could,
completely.
Like,
di-
I mean,
they're
it
completely
did
different.
Spark this entire
but it doesn't
research.
Say so. Do-si-do on it. That's what.
No, but I didn't know that another type of cookie existed.
Mm.
There's breakdowns here. Do-si-dos, crunchy and buttery with a stronger peanut butter taste. Then there's peanut butter sandwich, which I have right here. More crisp and crunchy. Peanut butter taste is more rounded out. And wow. I can tell the taste of difference.
Wow. You going to recover from this? You going to be okay? Or?
I don't know.
I mean, I definitely did not know that. I will 100% say I did know that. I will say that I did find out that you can buy those cookies, not just seasonally.
At any time.
Yeah, because I guess it's, I mean, I, not to do more distributor talk, but I guess Nabisco or somebody, one of those companies makes those same exact cookies. It's just not.
But it's not the same. It's not the same. And I would never tell the girls. They, you know, I'm
you
very
just
happy.
Told everybody.
Well, I'm just saying.
You just literally broadcast.
Well, no. Let's see. We got Mark on the line. Mark, you have some. You can help me out with this cookie situation.
It's nuts. It's not. And it's not just that there's a different name for the cookies. For the same name of the cookies. For instance. My sister in San Francisco asks me to order her Girl Scout cookies from up here because the bakery that makes them up here makes the same name cookie better than the one that's the bakery for San Francisco.
Wow.
That's
we got to get to the bottom of it. So there's
insane.
Another layer of this. This is inception of Girl Scout. Thank you. I told you I watched Ancient Aliens. There's going to be a new one. Ancient Girl Scout cookies.
This is insane.
This
you
is
know
nuts.
What this is going to lead to?
You want to buy some cookies?
I don't know. What bakery are they
from? Mommy, I don't know. Yeah. What bakery?
Why is this man asking me all these questions?
Hey, who's your guy?
Who's your distributor? Who's your baker?
Sir. Who is your contact? Who is your contact?
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Good work today.
Thank you. Less sugar in these, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh.
My it seems like there's
happy.
More. Oh, my gosh.
Well, less sugar knows a lot more salt.
That's right. I am very, very salty. All right.
That's incredible. I had no idea it could possibly go this deep.
This is a whole thing.
That's
we will
crazy.
Move on now. Thank you, Mark.
Those Sacramento Girl Scout cookies hit different.
They do hit different. Now, thank you to the caller, Mark. Hopefully you get your sister all the cookies from the correct bakery and the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'm taking my Sacramento Girl Scouts over the Bay Area ones. So,
but you know it's interesting.
I don't care what you have to
I'm
say.
I'm taking the ones from here and I'm going there and I'm selling.
But that's what I'm saying. What if I went to the Bay?
Oh my
right,
gosh!
I get the
Alan's
going to
be a third party.
I just opened up my jacket. I saw my jacket.
Hold on now. You want some Girl Scout cookies?
I got the real dosey. I got the good dosey dose.
Sir,
I got the real
sir,
ones.
Sir, please. What is in that?
But I have heard of that certain restaurants just being better. Didn't they say the famous Taco Bell that's in Pacifica? Isn't that Taco
Bell Beach?
That Taco Bell's better. Than the other Taco Bells?
Just because
just
of the aesthetics.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're doing a fine job. I'm a big Taco Bell.
Also, they have liquor there, I think.
Yeah, well,
yes,
that
do.
Makes
yes.
everything. Yeah.
Cantina.
That's true.
Well, you know, Chipotle, right? There's certain Chipotles that
people
that
do
are
swear
better.
By that. Yeah.
They are better. All right, Whitey, what you got on the game tonight?
Real interesting is I tweeted it's going to be interesting to see which Joker the Kings face tonight.
Saw that.
They've seen a really good version of the Joker, the Heath Ledger version. They've seen the Jack Nicholson version, and they've seen the Cesar Romero throwback version. Look it up. Google it. So which one will they see tonight? That's one of the keys to the game.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah. Looking at who the Kings have coming up next, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, and you can't call it a must win, but we were talking with
Girl Scout Cookie?
No, we weren't talking Jake. We're talking with Jake Shapiro. I was trying to remember his last name. Jake Shapiro from DenverSports.com. And in Denver, we were discussing during the roundtable how they are putting a lot of stock onto the fact that Denver hasn't been whole when they faced the Kings. And
right.
He said this would be the game that if you guys win, we would say okay. But as of right now, they're not really worried about the Kings. And honestly,
it's a tough one tonight.
Yeah, as the defending champs, you really shouldn't be worried about anyone, to be fair. It's not really a slight, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be a good game. I think De'Aaron's more than likely going to play just because, you know, it is a really, really big matchup. It's going to be a tough one, though. I mean, yeah, just for it to be in Denver, it's the fact that the Kings haven't lost to Denver this year, so you know they want to get at least
one there,
right?
Yeah, you have their full attention.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% full attention. And, you know, they're playing well right now. They've got three in a row. Jake also said now is kind of where he feels like the Nuggets are starting to peak. So it's going to be a great test. I don't think it's going to be impossible for the Kings, but, man, if they win this one, it could be in contention for best win of the year for sure.
Mm. Do you think to any degree the Miami win over the Kings showed other teams this is how you beat the Kings?
Zone, that is?
Well, I'm thinking more the other end, that too, but I mean the zone and also just it doesn't matter who we have. They have such poor defenders at a couple spots that if we attack them, they can't stop us.
Who are those guys?
Herder. You know, Malik is not a good defender.
No. Mm-hmm. HB is not either.
He's not having the numbers say he's not having a good year.
Sabonis got killed by Adebayo as well. I don't know how much Jokic can replicate that, but
yeah. And then you know, Jaime Jaquez would see that Duarte is guarding me and he just starts salivating. You know, it was. I think that's one of the reasons why the post-game explanations from the Kings were so kind of vague and like, well, you know, I don't know if it's a trend and, well, we have to play harder. Bottom line was, I think some of our defenders got demolished today and nobody wants to say that.
Yeah.
You want to throw your teammates under the bus,
right?
You know?
Well, Keegan kind of did in his own weird way, right? He said, I think we just didn't have enough effort tonight.
And but De'Aaron said, effort? Yeah, De'Aaron said, yeah, you know, some of the one-on-one matchups were not favorable for us, something
sure.
like that. But I think that's bottom line. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's the question with defense. And I know growing up, it's defense is effort, but there is a line to where it's effort, but there's also guys that were born that were born to play better defense than others. And I think when I look at Kevin Herter, I feel as if Kevin Herter's gotten pretty close to capping out on for who he is.
Yeah. That whole thing about effort, it maybe it applies in high school, but at this level, I mean, this guy right here, number 10, nobody works harder than him.
Yeah.
But he's had his moments, but he's far from the best defender, and he plays his behind off on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's more than just you got to try hard.
That's not what it is. That's not what it is anymore. Whitey, what else do you guys have coming up on the show?
Kyle Draper will be joining us from Denver, so we'll see how he's doing. I know yesterday his first moments in the hotel didn't go well. The elevator wasn't working, so we'll see how that worked out.
There you go. Well, you have the Drive guys coming up next, getting you ready for Kings Nuggets. Thank you to Simone. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Thank you to Jake Shapiro.
Thank you about the Girl Scout cookie
from DenverSports.com, getting you ready for the game. But until tomorrow, Styles and Watkins, secure the bag, light the beam.